Hello everybody, I'm here to bring you something that you might like to hear, but it's not noise. So how you're hearing it is a complete mystery to me, because this is the noise cancelling podcast and yet you're hearing it through some medium. Who knows how? What a mystery. This is the Noise Cancelling Tech Podcast, brought to you by Future Publishing, which encompasses Tech Radar, Tom's Guide, Laptop Mag. Sorry, Cherie, I get it the wrong way around. You should always get top billing. It's Laptop Mag, Tech Radar, Tom's Guide, that way around. And of course, this week we're joined by a lovely special guest from Tom's Hardware. Sharon, please tell us about yourself.
Hi, yes, so I'm Sharon Harding. I am from Tom's Hardware. I've been a senior editor there for about 2 years now. And so for those who don't know, Tom's Hardware is all about news, reviews, and features for PC hardware enthusiasts. So anything going on with PC components like CPUs and graphics cards, also high-end laptops and premium gaming peripherals we cover. So right now I manage all of our gaming peripherals coverage on the site, and I'm also dabbling in some gaming laptop reviews.
How much of an enthusiast are you?
Oh, I'm a very enthusiastic enthusiast, for sure.
I completely messed with the order of things. Cherie, please tell us about your wonderful self.
Hi everybody, I'm Cherie L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
Mr. Peckham.
And I'm James Peckham. You hear my voice all the time on this podcast. I'm phones editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. I put myself in the same place. I feel like all's well with the world. Before we get into everything, even the big question, Pexy came on just now. Sorry, James Peckham is also known as Pexy, for those that haven't been officially introduced. He had mentioned that there's two new phones out today with an insane spec, right?
Yeah, 16 gigabytes of RAM. It's not an unheard of thing, but it's just strange to see another two phones come out with that. It's the Lenovo Legion phone, and I did say at the start of this call there were two phones, and I've now forgotten what the other one was. But the Lenovo Legion.
Is it the ROG phone?
Yeah. Yes, the ROG phone. Yeah, you're right. The Asus ROG phone, which.
So was that the editor of Laptop Mag telling the phones editor the name of a phone? Was that what just happened? Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
It's the editor of Tech Radar, the phones editor of Tech Radar, respecting the embargo, which is up before this podcast goes out, luckily.
Okay. Should have told me. Should have clued me in.
Yeah, so we have seen this on phones before, like the S20 Ultra has a 16 gigabyte of RAM version if you really want to spend the most money you've possibly got on a smartphone. But yeah, it's just odd to see another two phones, but as Cherie said, it's two new gaming phones.
I'm all for it, again, because I love extravagant things. And yes, I do want to spend as much money as I possibly can on this type of spec. Now, I've reviewed the ROG One, and I was in the process of doing the two when it came out, but I made the leap over the laptop, so I had to stop it. But while I love the power of a gaming phone, I'm not sure that it's needed.
I entirely agree. I don't see the use in that at the moment. And also really interested that you call it the ROG phone when I genuinely thought it was called the ROG phone.
I don't know. I mean, because I mean, it's just like the brand, like some people say Asus, like I say Asus, some people say Asus. So who knows?
I go with ROG because it's an acronym, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that would make more sense, wouldn't it? Yeah.
We have this like passive debate of Republic of Gamers. There's like this passive thing on my site where half of us call it ROG and half of us call it ROG, and we don't really talk about it. We just keep calling it something different.
It's like the North American Space Agency. You know, everyone calls it that.
Yes, exactly. NASA.
Is that what it stands for? I guessed that off the top of my head. I was like, is it that?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's say yeah. No one will correct us. Right, let's go on to the big question this week. So, one of the stories that we saw was that Apple was patenting something I think pretty cool, that you could use the Apple Pencil to point at a colour and then it would be able to use that colour on the screen of an iPad Pro, which I think is a pretty sweet thing to do. You know, especially if you're trying to sketch and draw things in real life, being able to just absorb colour like that is amazing using clever photon technology or photon recognising technology to be able to do that. So the question this week, guys, is if you can make the Apple Pencil do anything, what would it be? And I'm going to start with you, Cherie, because it rhymes.
Well, I have two answers. One is fantastical. When I clicked it, it would read minds and display them on the tablet. So I use it like a lie detector, but for a more reasonable outcome, I would like it to act as a remote, a mini remote control for an Apple TV, just in case I can't find the Apple TV remote.
But then if you've got your tablet nearby, you can use that as an Apple TV remote.
Yeah, like it would be the clicker. Like, so if I needed to like change channels really quickly, like one button would go up, one would go down, or you could configure it to however you want it. And yeah.
I mean, with the advent of big data, just to talk about really sexy things, you can imagine like if they put a voice recorder or a voice like transcriber into the pencil, it could either tell intonation whether people were lying, because that's pretty easy, I'm sure, from all around the world, or just, you know that speech patterns that are usually indicative of lying. I think this could happen already, not even with magic, not even fantastical.
Oh, that was it. All right, then that was a more sensible answer than I thought. Yay me!
I mean, privacy-wise, it's a nightmare, but apart from that, yeah, all fine.
Hey Siri, are you lying?
No, what are you asking? Sharon, welcome to the pod again. What's your first answer?
So I also came up with two. The first one is something that I've always wanted, but it's a little superficial. So if you could use a pencil to like draw on the perfect shade of highlights for your hair or the perfect hue of makeup on your face, I think that would be great. But to appear more grounded, less superficial, I have another idea that I think is more appealing to people, fans of tech and a little bit of magic in there too. So I want the Apple Pencil to turn any surface into a touch screen. So like, can't find your TV remote, Apple Pencil will make that touch navigable. Laptop isn't touch screen, don't cry, you can use the Apple Pencil. Scientific graphing calculator that you pay over $100 for just to make it out of high school, touch screen.
I'm worried about that idea because, and I'm sure, you know, I shouldn't do it, especially now at the moment, but I put the Apple Pencil in my mouth so much, like just the tip of it, just like blip, blip, blip. I'm like, I put the old Apple Pencil where it had the thing that fell off. I used to just take that off with my mouth all the time, like just pop it in, pop it out, pop it in, pop it out. So if there was a way to highlight your hair and draw makeup on, it would just be an absolute nightmare after a meeting. It would just be like clown shit all over my face, like blue bits going through my hair. It would be terrible.
Why are you
taking such umbrage at that, Sheree?
Why are you gnawing on such an expensive piece of tech?
Because it doesn't matter about the cost. It's like anything. You gnaw on a biro, you gnaw on a pencil, you know, Apple Pencil. What's the difference? I'm not chewing it off. I'm not like eating it to the point where it doesn't work. It's just, I don't know, whatever the phrase is, the thingy stimulation. Anyway, Pexy, save me. What's your thoughts?
I'm not sure if I thought big enough here, but I essentially want the Apple Pencil to be compatible with Apple glasses when that finally happens. The idea of having a stylus that's useful within AR of that element. Also, other AR elements on the phone and on tablet as well may also be a possibility, but I'd like that a stylus to be a way of interacting with the elements that we think are going to come with Apple glasses in probably 2 or 3 years' time. I think that could be a really interesting introduction to...
Literally stolen my idea, but...
Whoops, sorry.
Well, because my idea was going to be like, you know, I was thinking I want it to be a magic wand, but I was like, don't be ridiculous. No one's going to do a fantastical answer here.
It's not going to read minds, is it?
Yeah, or paint makeup. That's fine. But I was thinking, like, instead of magic, imagine if you could take things like, you know, cast things from a phone to another screen, like you could just like point it and move it across. And I was like, that's quite boring. I was like, imagine if you had glasses that could do everything, and then you could use your phone and pull it open and then point things over there from there, put it on a big screen in front of you, you know, use it as that kind of thing. But you've just had it first, and I just sound like I'm lying, even though mine's a much more well-rounded answer, so everyone knows it was my idea first. I'm going to go with tradition and give our new edition the points this week, so well done, Sharon. I'm going to choose your first answer, though, because of the fact that I think it would be lovely if everyone could just paint themselves just all the time.
Yes, we could all look better.
Yeah. Or much, much worse in the case of some of us, by the fact that we accidentally put makeup on at the wrong times. Eyeliner on the face on the wrong place is never going to work. Right, let's move on to what's actually happened this week. So let's kick off with, I'd say the biggest news on Tech Radar has been the OnePlus Nord. Still not sure about the name. Nord sounds like what you do with a pencil. Hey, segue. So, Pixie, tell us about the new OnePlus Nom Nom.
So yeah, the OnePlus Nord. This is a return to mid-range phones for OnePlus, a return to their cheaper roots, essentially. This isn't a flagship to replace the OnePlus 8. Instead, this is a phone that comes in the UK at £379. We don't know a US price yet because, spoiler, it doesn't look like it's going to come to the US anytime soon. But this is their attempt at making another cheap phone, but still trying to keep a lot of those top-end features. You've still got a 90Hz refresh rate display on this phone. You've still got a insanely powerful camera, six cameras on the phone in general. There's four on the back and two on the front. Yeah, generally they're trying to make a mid-range phone here which can compete with the likes of the new iPhone SE that we saw earlier this year and the Google Pixel 4a whenever that comes out, but currently the Google Pixel 3a, trying to get into that mid-range segment that was previously owned by a lot of Chinese companies. OnePlus is another Chinese company, but they're trying to come in and get that element as well as getting the flagship end, because your average OnePlus phone now costs around $800 or so, around about £800. So yeah, they're trying to go for that slightly cheaper market. So far, we actually quite like it. We've only had a few moments with it so far, but you can read our full hands-on review on TechRadar.
I mean, it's interesting because you said about $800, £800. You know, this is high-end stuff. But, you know, OnePlus has always been like the flagship killer of phones. Of like, that's how they've dubbed themselves to be. You know, you don't spend loads of money. And arguably, even though it's $800, £800, it's still a lot cheaper than some of those out there and does manage to bash alongside, doesn't it? Is that the OnePlus 8 Pro or the 8 that costs that much?
Off the top of my head, that's the 8. I think the 8 Pro is a little bit more expensive in the US. OnePlus have just gently every year or so, and they release two sets of phones a year. Each 6 months, we just see it go up by £50 or $50 and just gently goes up that a little bit more. And we've now got to the point where we're talking almost flagship prices, as you say. That it's not the same price as a iPhone 11 Pro Max or a Samsung Galaxy S20 Ultra. But yeah, they're just trying to do that half-price market here now with the OnePlus Nord. And yeah, it is a weird name, but apparently it means north in a variety of Scandinavian languages, and that's the way they're trying to market this. I think we've spoken previously on the podcast about how I think it'd be better to go with a slightly different line or the Z series or something like that. But they've gone with Nord, and people now know what that means. So
cool. Yeah, I think it sounds like one of those ones that could keep this Android versus iPhone debate raging in different territories now, so it's another way people can get annoyed about the phones that other people have. Xbox, that's coming up, right, Cherie?
Yes.
The game showcase?
Yes, sir.
I'm still upset. Well, I'm not upset, I'm really happy, but I'm still sort of shell-shocked by the fact that the PlayStation just casually unveiled the new PlayStation at the last games launch that we saw. So, I mean, should I be afraid of Xbox game showcase?
I mean, I think we're going to see more games, which is never a bad thing.
Really? The game showcase, what a shocker.
I mean, but hopefully there'll be actual gameplay instead of just splashy trailers this time around. And who knows, we might see the rumored Lockhart, the Xbox Series X Lite or whatever they're going to be calling it, the all digital version. I just hope that Xbox took some notes out of Sony's playbook, because honestly it kind of felt like I was back at E3 all over again. So typically when you go to E3, Xbox does their announcement in the morning and you think they did a really good job, you leave feeling really hyped and what have you. Then Sony goes at like 6 in the afternoon and they just blow everything that you thought you were excited about Xbox out of the water, be it with some it's always with some grand spectacle, with better specs, lower pricing. It's like, and just tons of jokes at Xbox's expense. So I'm hoping that this time around they will listen to the complaints of fans and really come through with that hardcore gameplay. And I hope they're going to elaborate on the plan about what they're doing with Xbox Live, since they've quietly retired the 12-month subscription package that you usually get. So I'm hoping that they're going to say that they're either rolling the functionality into Xbox Game Pass or something.
Sharon, are you a PS5 or Xbox enthusiast? You can't be an enthusiast of PS5, it's not out yet, but PlayStation in general or Xbox, which way do you go?
So I grew up on PlayStation, and then when I went to college everyone had an Xbox, and now I have both, and then but my real baby is the N64. That's where my heart is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see these new consoles when they finally come out. I mean, the designs are kind of wild. The colors are wild. Like, it's not going to blend into the living room, but I'm a fan of high-res content, high-res gaming, high-res movie watching. So I'll be interested to see how the 4K performance actually pans out on these.
So if you had to choose, though, which side are you going for? Know your colors now.
PlayStation. Just so 8-year-old Sharon is happy.
Which PlayStation did you start with?
Well, I had the first one. We got the first one. I remember my mom brought it home with like this NBA game, like that came with it. That was like all we did for the rest of our lives, it seems. Play friggin' video games.
Such a good time. Like, I even though people say, like, I remember PlayStation being like, what? Sony's making a console. That's not Nintendo or Sega. What are they talking about? But, you know, times have moved on. People have liked different things. Some people don't even know that Sega was a thing once upon a time. Pexy, the Xbox Live subs. Can you explain to people why this is important, why this is a big deal at all, and, you know, how it compares to PS Plus and stuff?
Sure. So you can still subscribe to Xbox Live on a monthly basis if you want to, but you can no longer buy a 12-month subscription directly from Xbox. As Cherie's already said, it sounds like that's going to be... because they may want to roll that into Xbox Game Pass. There's also potentially the fact that they may just make playing games online free, because at the moment that isn't an option. I don't personally think that will happen, but I've seen some people talking about that. With Xbox Live and PS Plus, you're getting access to free games every month and the ability to play online games if you don't own a console at the moment. Obviously, that's probably going to change a little bit with the upcoming Xbox One X and the PS5. So I think this is just Microsoft just getting everything in order a little bit before it can... release this new console.
I mean, I've never really understood why it costs you money to play online. Why do they charge? Is it just literally a commercial thing, or is there actual, you know, they've got to make some money back from paying for service, or, you know, having the online space, or what?
I'm honestly not sure either. I think you're probably right. There's probably a nice easy way of making money, and it gets that nice little added extra benefit to that monthly subscription. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure either.
Cherie, any thoughts? Do you think it's fair to charge for playing? I mean, nowadays especially, a very key part of the online, of the gaming experience is online. So
I would hope that goes away, but I doubt it, because they know that they basically have us by the giblets. So they're going to get, like, they're going to charge what they're going to charge. I would like to think that that's an antiquated practice that should go away, but... they've been making so much money off of it for so long. I doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say, but I've only just re-enabled my PS Plus after about 4 years. I bought like a voucher about 3 years ago and just found it still works, which is brilliant. And I fired up last night. I was like, I have forgotten what PS Plus is. It took me a while to figure it out again. And there were sort of like all these things. It's like walking back into a house that you forgot you owned like a long time ago and going, what is all this furniture? It seems familiar, but I've forgotten why it exists. So that was fun. I'm vaguely getting my head around it now. But how does this compare to, say, xCloud and stuff like that?
Well, xCloud isn't out yet. I'm hoping that we'll hear a little bit more about that, because it's currently kind of sort of in beta. I'm hoping that they will just have one service and they'll roll everything into one thing, instead of, okay, like, if you want to do Project X Cloud, you've got to get a subscription for that. If you want to do Game Pass, you have to have a separate subscription for that. And who knows what they're going to do with Live, but they could potentially have a subscription for that. So I'm just hoping that they'll have the sense, like, I would not mind paying maybe $15 for the service if they rolled everything together. Like, that makes sense, because then you get Xbox Play Anywhere, you get xCloud, you get Game Pass. That's a value deal right there. But to sit there and potentially try to charge $9.99 for everything, now that's a little greedy.
If I'm right, so Xbox Live is be able to play online with pals. xCloud is be able to, it's basically a Google Stadia rival where you can play on a mobile device anywhere. So what's the other one?
Game Pass is basically...
That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said. Game Pass is basically Microsoft's take on Netflix, but for games. So you have access to over 100 games. Like, the library is continuously growing. And just like Netflix, some months you have certain games, sometimes you don't. But no matter what, you can play them for free as long as you have an active subscription. So if they can just combine all of that into one solid service, and then you throw in Xbox Play Anywhere, which allows you to either play the game on your Xbox or your Windows 10 PC, that would be the dream, especially since Xbox is saying that they no longer want to have exclusive titles per se. So what they mean by that is that they do not want to just have a game that's Xbox only or PC only. It doesn't mean that they're, like, with all those studios that they bought, that there's going to be no such things as an exclusive title there. They just didn't word it right, as usual.
And we were also, again, as usual, waiting for the PS5 pre-order to be announced, the price to be announced. Surprisingly, once again, there was a fake listing on Amazon, didn't happen, etc., etc. I mean, why do we keep feeling like it's going to happen? Why do these sort of rumors pop up and everyone goes, well, it could happen now, and then doesn't, and then it doesn't? Like, anyone shed any light?
Because money's burning a hole in my pocket, and I want to give PlayStation my money as soon as possible so I can make sure that I have one at launch. There are already rumors that you're only going to be allowed to buy one PlayStation 5 per household, which is great, because typically, if left to their own devices, people with the means will buy a bunch of them and just jack the price up on eBay or whatever service that they try to sell it through. So that actually is a really cool, a really good thing. And you just want to make sure that you have one. If you like, there is something about being the first on the block with a shiny new toy. It's something, it's a feeling that I've never grown out of. I doubt I'm ever going to mature out of. I want it. I want to be the first one. I want my friends to ooh and ah, and I want to be the envy of all my friends.
I mean, it's a far cry from being the first person in the street with a TV and everyone has to come round to watch, you know, the moon landing or whatever it would be. But I mean, I suppose the thing is, in terms of like releases coming out and the leaks, and it just seems like with the advent of social media, I feel like I'm trying really hard not to say back in my day, but back in my day, before Twitter was a thing, you know, the rumors that used to leak out were pretty accurate, because they came from, there was such a hard way for them to get from source to actually be known by the media. It was actually generally pretty accurate. But now, with the advent of Twitter and YouTube and so many different ways of people leaking things, that it seems like everything has to be taken with the biggest pinch of salt possible, and nobody is able to predict exactly what's happening. It's like Cherie said, it's because people are really desperate for the thing that they really want, and it's very easy to tap into that now, right?
Yeah, and we're getting closer to the date. Like, the holiday season isn't that far off, so it's like, okay, when are you going to let us buy this thing? Like, are you going to wait until September? Like, now we're about to creep into August, and it's like, okay, when are you going to release the price? And now, not only am I burning a hole in my pocket, now I'm getting frustrated, because I'm like, okay, is this a game of chicken between Xbox and Sony? Are you like, okay, well, you drop your price first. Well, you show your price first. You do it. No, you. Like, so somebody has to go first.
Well, Sharon's got something you can spend your money on. It's a little genius device. Sharon, why don't you tell us about the new mouse you're testing out?
Yeah, well, first, if Cherie is so desperate to give away her money, you know where I am. So you know how to get to
you,
me.
As much as I love you, I cannot play games on you.
That's what I was going to say. Are you going to get under our TV and just be like, shout what it looks like you're thinking of?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
It would be high res.
There is a mouse you can buy. So it just launched on Kickstarter today, actually. I did get to test it out over the past week. So they're calling it the Zephyr mouse. I don't know why it's called that. But it has a lot of what you'd expect from a gaming mouse today, like, you know, like the RGB lighting, a braided cable, a PixArt optical sensor, and even that honeycomb styling, like with the holes cut out of the chassis, so it's really lightweight. But the big secret is the fan inside the palm rest. So there's a fan in there that spins at three different speeds, and its sole purpose is to cool off your sweaty, nasty hands, like it all sweaty and nasty when you're clutching your mouse in gaming. So we covered when they announced the mouse before you can actually get your sweaty hands on it. And one of our commenters actually wrote, like, why would anyone want this? Why would anyone need this? Like, it's not that serious. But it is. I actually have a friend who has really, really sweaty hands, not just like nervous hands. Like, her hands are so sweaty that she'll pull over sometimes in her car to wipe the steering wheel, because it's dangerous, because it's grimy. So yeah, this is a real problem that that needs to be addressed. But so I tried it, and it's not like a fan like blowing on you, like, you know, like if you hold a fan to your face and get like a gush of air. It more just like keeps the whole mouse cooler than it would be normally. And if you have like a claw grip or your palm isn't touching the mouse, you could feel it a little bit more. And if your hand is moist, you could feel it a little bit more. But it's interesting. So it's on Kickstarter now. We'll see how, you know, how that launch actually goes. They're selling it for $79 right now.
I've got a couple of thoughts there. If I was at work, I wish I could be at work. If I was at work though, and I saw someone holding the mouth with a claw grip, I wouldn't go near them very often. It's like, I'm just going to hold my mouse with a claw. And it's like, hold your mouse normally, please. Why are you doing that?
Claw grip is normal for some people.
Is it?
Yeah, like you either claw it or you like lay your palm flat.
I can't imagine. I haven't got a mouse yet. I'm using something else. But like, I can't imagine not putting your palm on the palm rest because that's the name of it. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to try that later on and find out. I'll feedback next week. But the second part is, why cut out holes in the chassis to make it lighter and then stick a big old fan in there?
Well, I mean, it's serving a particular purpose, because I'm actually going to send it out to what I got. I have it too, and I'm going to send it out to one of my writers to test. He too has sweaty palms, so we'll see how it works out for him. I think it, like, because it kind of reminds me of the HP Omen MindFrame headsets with the fans in the headset, which I love that. It's just a constant blast of cool air on my ears, which when you're like when temperatures get hot and you're doing a long gaming session, no one wants to have that swampy feeling around their ears. So I imagine if you suffer from sweaty palms, this would be really, really helpful.
I mean, isn't that noisy, having a fan in your ear?
No.
The mouse was actually a little bit noisy. It was noisy. I'm trying to be nice, but it was pretty noisy. The people told me they're working on that, as I got a prototype version. So the issue is there's just like a noise in general when you turn on the fan, like a vibrating noise. And then if the fans are at high speed, you also get the sound of the blades moving. So that is an issue they're working on. Also, you could feel that shaking a little. That's the biggest issue for me. Like, it's like your mouse is like quivering in your hands, and I don't like that.
It's alive. It's alive.
Yeah, I keep that thing dead.
I mean, I don't know who would want this, but I feel like there's a buying guide in, you know, the best ways to stop feeling swampy. Yeah, you know, like the best tech to help you stop that swampy feeling.
I mean, shower is technically tech, right? It's a good old shower.
I keep nearly buying the shower with the illuminated head that does different like light colors, and I keep feeling like don't buy that because you're a grown up now. But
no,
I really
RGB
want one.
RGB everything.
True. Yeah. Okay. That would have a fan in it as well. Confusingly. So one of the final thing before we get on to the stories in a minute section, Sharon, Windows 10 X is delayed, which, you know, Windows 10 stuff has always been a bit of a confusion in terms of why it's not working properly. But this has massive implications for the future, right? For what we wanted to see in the future, the forwards times.
Yes, the forward times. So a lot of the forward times are all about screens, right? So we've been, especially over the past year, seeing prototypes and concepts of dual screen PCs, foldable screen PCs, whatever you want to call it. And originally Windows 10X was supposed to be the operating system, you know, fine tuned for that kind of form factor. And we were going to see that this year, but now the version of that OS for dual screen devices isn't coming till spring 2022. Those are the recent report we're hearing. So that puts into question the future of these foldable PCs or foldable screen PCs. You know, are vendors going to wait to launch foldable screen PCs until 10X is well groomed? Are foldable screen PCs going to arrive with a subpar experience because they're using an OS that's not optimized for the form factor? Or does it not, you know, matter much because we're all going to wait to see if those things break first before we buy one anyway?
I mean, Cherie, you're a noted lover of things that cost money and you want them in your life. Would you buy a foldable PC?
I have to see. Like, in theory, I like the idea of a dual screen because Lord knows I love Asus's ZenBook Pro Duo, and I'm a fan of the Zephyrus Pro Duo. But I've been waiting for their I forgot what it was called. Project, it's this sexy device I saw 2 years ago in at Computex, and it's basically all screen on the inside. Like, I know the typing would be terrible on it, but the look of it is just amazing. Like, if they could find a way to do haptics where you could just kind of hover your hands over the second display and type, that would be a, like, get some real Minority Report stuff going in there. But foldable, I feel like there's too many moving parts to it. I feel like that is going to break very easily, and you're not going to be able to repair it, and you're going to be out of upwards of $2,000.
I mean, I want foldable. I think 15 years ago, I was over in Holland looking at like the first kind of rollable, foldable screens, and this was just e-ink. This wasn't anything, you know, to do with like OLEDs or anything like that. And the problem there is that they said the technology is there. We can do this. It's just people are just afraid of it. They're afraid of things breaking. They couldn't make it rollable because people were just felt like it was too flimsy. So they had to make it foldable. And it's, but even then, despite the fact this has worked, it's still not come out. Like, we still don't have this foldable tech that should be there. Like, phones should have like a rollable e-ink screen coming out the back really easily, but for some reason we don't. And it's a shame because that would be so cool. Pexy's nodding, completely agreeing with me. Explain why I'm right, Pexy.
No, it just sounds great. Like, yeah, obviously we're at the point now where we are getting foldable phones quite regularly, but I think people are still feeling quite nervous about them, and probably understandably so as well, in terms of, like, we are seeing, like, even the Galaxy Fold had some issues when it first launched. So I think in the next few years, that's when consumer trust will start building, and we'll start to see, especially the bigger brands, start to bring out more of these sort of products, and then maybe that will then move into foldable PC confidence as well. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. Right, let's take a short break now. And after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to test Sharon's skills at speaking. Ooh. Welcome back to Noise Cancelling Podcast. I forgot the name of it right then. The Noise Cancelling Tech Podcast that you're going to love, hopefully. Right, we're going to talk to Sharon. We've been talking to you for a long time. People know who you are. It's not like we're going to introduce you again as a guest. She writes for Tom's Hardware. She's an enthusiast. She has a mouse that stops you having sweaty palms. But our new game is Stories in a Minute. Sheree and I have played it so far. It's your chance to tell the listeners what's been happening over the last week in the world of tech with things that maybe we haven't had a chance to cover right now. So the record so far is 11. So can you do in 1 minute 11 stories? And the key thing is you have to explain them to the point where they're sort of understandable. So people that haven't heard about them will know what's going on, and they can pretend to their friends they know exactly what's happening. So I'm going to time you, and when you get to 60 seconds, I'm going to stop. And if any of us feel that any of the story hasn't been explained well enough, we're going to strike it from the number. So on your marks, get set, go.
After months of leaks and speculation, AMD finally announced its Ryzen 4000 Renoir desktop APUs, but you can only get them in pre-built systems from the likes of HP and Lenovo. So foundry TSMC will no longer supply silicon to Huawei as of September because US-China relations are bad. Xbox launched an official website for updates and info on buying storage expansion cards for the upcoming Xbox Series X. It's like a memory card, but in 1 TB SSD form. We saw an official live hands-on of the PS5 controller this week, but pretty much all we learned is that there's better audio than the PS4's controller and that it feels heavier and more sturdy. In a subtle tweet, Samsung hinted that it will unveil the Galaxy Fold 2 phone on August 5th. The tweet was a GIF of a rose gold bob. AMD confirmed that its Zen 3 CPUs will be available to the general public this year, also known by their codename Vermeer. These will bring AMD's desktop CPU lineup to the Ryzen 4000 moniker. TSMC has surpassed both Intel and Samsung in its market cap, coming one step closer to seizing the title of world's biggest semiconductor manufacturer from Samsung. TSMC's market cap is $322.7 billion, Intel's is $254 billion, Samsung's is $322.7 billion. Did I get a million? Or a billion?
How many was that? I counted seven.
Yeah, seven.
All right.
Clappy is an audio feature. You weren't reading those off, right? You were freestyling them, right?
Yeah.
Definitely was. Other stories we could have covered were LG's OLED TVs have, well, some of them been recalled, mostly in South Korea, so there's that. Spider-Man's Miles Morales on PS5 will have an optional 4K 60 frames per second performance mode, so you can look at Spider-Man in a fancier way. Windows 10X we've already talked about. Chrome is about to transform the way you log into websites. I've forgotten what happened with that, so that's not very useful. And a box version of the Core i9 10850K points to retail availability. It's coming soon, people. I don't know why I read them out, though. I was counting down and I carried on. Sorry about that. Right. Sheree, you know what we didn't do last week? We didn't do the jingle.
No, we didn't. You just barreled through. And I was like, all right.
And you know what? I remembered it, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning the other day when I woke up. I was thinking about the podcast. I was like, we didn't do the jingle. And I was like, why is that the first thing that bothers me when I wake up? But it's important. So can you do a double good one now, just to make up for it for the listeners?
Sure. Unpopular opinions, let your head unfurl. We're going to talk about gaming phones some more, because someone's a hater. Why do you hate Joy?
Joy, if you mean Joy from the popular Pixar film Inside Out, because she's just too one-track.
Wow.
If you mean Joy, my mother, you better not.
It just got real personal real fast. Oh, Jesus.
That was like a reverse version of Batman versus Superman. Like...
Martha!
Yeah. Why don't you like Martha?
Why'd you say that, though?
I don't know, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is, we talked about it already, the ROG 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 Phone 3. I still don't understand why gaming phones are a thing. I just don't understand why they're a thing. And I'll tell you, I did look into the sort of the rise of them, and they are gaining in popularity. So brands making them, mostly from China, I get the fact they think there's a market. So it's like 1 million gaming smartphones sold last year, which is like, compared to the fact that the smartphone market was diminishing, shows that it is a growing niche. However, only 600 odd million people consider themselves to be active mobile gamers. So we've got 400 million people buying a phone that's super powerful. So we've got high refresh rates, massive long battery life, great screens, really powerful CPU. So you can do all that kind of stuff and yet not using it to the full. That tells me these are just people that want to buy really high specs phones for the sake of it. And this is how the brands are trying to smuggle them in. They're trying to say, yeah, this is a gaming phone. Yeah, not just we're sticking on loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of spec for the sake of it. So people who just want the very best will buy it. They're trying to make it into a thing. And the reason I say that is because show me a really good smartphone game. Like, there are good ones, yeah, but there's nothing that comes close to console gaming that I've seen so far. You know, I haven't found it yet, and I don't see what mobile gaming can do on a gaming, inverted commas, phone that really lends itself. Now, I hope someone will tell me otherwise, but I haven't been able to find a reason.
I think that, like, I am curious about those numbers, because I think a lot of these phones are being sold over in Asia, where mobile gaming is huge, because they don't necessarily have the bandwidth to play a PC game reliably. So for Asia, it makes sense. I'm not so sure in the UK or in the States. In the States and the UK, I think it is exactly what you said. People just like being able to say, oh, you're just using that processor? I've got this Qualcomm Snapdragon 837 extra cherry on top and some fudge and sprinkles.
We haven't written about that one. I should probably get on that.
Like, I mean, it's not something new. Like, my mother, she has an iPhone, and before that, she had a top of the line Samsung Galaxy phone. Did she use even half of the features that she could on that phone? Absolutely not. But when I said to her, "Well, you could save money and get a lower tier phone," she was aghast. Like, how, like she, like, kind of clutched her invisible pearls and was just like, how dare you? And I was like, and I backed up, because she's my mama and she brought me into this world and she could very well take me out. And she got her expensive phone and I minded my business.
I mean, I feel like I understand your love of the shiny gadget more now, Cherie.
Got it from her mama.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It is very much, the Chinese manufacturers are the ones that are leading this. Black Shark is currently, apparently, according to this report from KR Asia, leading the charge in terms of the gaming phone. Asus is in third place, Nubia in second, and obviously Lenovo trying to get a slice of the pie as well. So I think I do get it, but I mean, I've covered the smartphone industry for 12 years now, essentially since it's really been mainstream, and I've never seen a thing that's designed to do one thing succeed in the smartphone world. And I think maybe the point there, Cherie, is right, that if it's something that replaces something else in the case of PC gaming or more powerful gaming that you can do separately, that makes more sense. It'd be great if it was much easier to sort of cast your smartphone upwards to a TV. But then you sort of wonder, with the advent of like xCloud and Google Stadia, if that ever does come, ever, then these gaming phones surely will, again, like dedicated cameras would disappear, and phones that, you know, like when Kodak made a camera that was also a phone but didn't work, you know, music phones that were just designed to be music first, even like the Facebook phone, so it could be super easy to go to Facebook. Then the iPhone or the newer Samsung just comes and gets as good at it in a much sleeker package, and everyone's like, cool, that'll do for me. Everyone's silent. That means they're agreeing. Excellent. Right. we are coming to the end of today's show again. But my father, in his lovely way, has had some good thoughts. So, feedback on last week. Gareth, good podcast. But how come you didn't mention that you went to see the premiere of Ferngully when Shireen mentioned it? I did go and see the premiere. We won a competition. It was the first time I've ever tasted a Mint Imperial in the hotel we stayed at. There you are, Dad. I've told everybody I went to see Ferngully. Can't remember what happened in it, apart from there's a bat with wires in its head.
What do you mean? It was this whole ecological fable and like lesson, like take care of the earth. What? I love Ferngully. It's a classic.
Other things. So more importantly, he said you mocked me for mentioning Team's favourite superhero last week, and then you spent 10 weeks discussing them. So he just wanted to say that. And then he asked if I'd seen Doom Patrol on Amazon. It's a good DC series. Then put three kisses. What a lovely one. There you are, Dad. You've had your corner. I mean, Shireen hasn't come up with a jingle for you yet.
Aww, Rich. Three.
No, I have to think about it. I'm still working on it, Dad. Be patient.
anything more from you guys at all before we sign off this week? It's been a fun podcast.
Thank you guys for having me, letting me join the party. I want a nickname like James next time, though. What were you calling him?
Pexy. His last name is James Peckham. It's Pexy. I mean, what do you want?
I didn't get to choose mine.
Yeah, you gotta bestow one upon me. You don't make your own nickname.
Hardsy? I don't really feel like it.
There it is. Hardsy signing out.
No, you could not be like Harding.
Hard Edge signing out.
The thing with the nickname though is you can't have your own version of the way you say it to people, like... Shireen, why don't you lead us out? How can people get in contact with you? I'm sure there are ways.
There are so many ways. But on Twitter and Instagram, you can contact me at Miss Smith 11. So that's M-I-S-S Smith 11. And of course, go to Laptop Mag, Laptop Before, Laptop Now, Laptop Forever. We are creeping closer and closer to my site's 30th anniversary. So yeah, stay tuned for that as we go into 2021. We're going to be doing big things, but I'm letting you know now, we're going to be turning a dirty 30 and we're going to be bringing it in big.
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
Is that 30 years of the website or the magazine is like a thing?
That is 30 years of the magazine.
I was like, I didn't remember you 30 years ago on the internet. I was like, that would have been impressive. That would impress
him. Like, I am well preserved for my age.
No, not you, the site, come on.
I mean, but I am the site at this point. But no, I'm joking.
That is
true. But also, speaking of the site, if you do want to try your hand at doing some tech writing, we are absolutely accepting pitches. Hit us up. We have a how to pitch page on our site. And just send me your best ideas and we will be in contact.
Sharon, how about you? How can people get in contact if they want to? How good is Tom's Hardware? Is it better than Laptop Mag? Yes, no?
Yes, it is better in all the appropriate ways. Laptop is great at covering every single laptop there is, but we kind of focus on the high-end stuff and the gaming stuff and the stuff you wonder who would actually need this kind of performance. That's where we're at. So yeah, definitely check the website out. We're known for PC components and PC building, but we've been expanding into pre-built systems and peripherals. And if you want to find us, tomshardware.com. My Twitter is ShareHair, which you're not going to be able to spell, but it's S-C-H-A-R-H-A-R. And yeah, just keep watching the site. We're growing. We're also looking for more writers. If anyone is interested, please reach out, especially if you're doing peripheral reviews or component news. We're also looking for that. Lots of fun stuff coming.
You said you wanted a cool nickname. You've already got Share Hair.
Yeah, well, it's just my first Sharon Harding, Share Hair, and kind of rhymes. You know, I know a girl named Sarah Harrison, and she has the same name, Sarah Hair. I thought I was original, but she has like the same name. But
it's slightly different.
It's still cool.
JPEG. What about you?
So I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter, and for anything phones, come to Tech Radar. For anything tech, come to Tech Radar, but especially the phones coverage, and especially at the moment as we're getting more into an exciting element of the year. We've got the OnePlus Nord coverage up at the moment, and a certain Samsung phone is coming along the line soon, and probably an iPhone at some point this year as well. We don't know what's happening there yet, but check us out for that. And we're also accepting pitches. If you head to Google and search TechRadar how to pitch. You'll be able to find an article for so you can hit the right people with your pitch if you've got anything you wanna write about tech.
Why have you not changed your Twitter handle to JPEG Legends or JPEG Predator?
I don't know. I will get on that as soon as possible. Can you change your Twitter handle? Is that a thing you can do?
Get a new one.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. I'll just start again from the bottom.
Yeah, get a new one and 301 it, of course. That's an in-joke. I'm Gareth Beavis. I am Super Beav on Twitter because that's who I am. Please, Tech Radar is equally as good, worse in other places and better in others than Laptop Mag and Tom's Hardware. We're one big happy family. Yeah, come start with Laptop Mag. See if you can find what you want there. If you think, you know what, I want some more detail, and you go to Tom's Hardware, you'll find a little bit more like deep dive stuff on there. And then you're like, you know what, I want like a dessert. I want a sort of some flavor of photography or maybe some gaming or just a little bit more. Go to Tech Radar and you'll find it all there. And if you want Tech Radar on socials, it's just Tech Radar.
For now. You have a little bit more for now.
Happy family.
Why is this going dark? I was trying to be nice. I was saying we were just like a palate cleanser at the end after the lovely long journey people have been on in terms of reading all about the world of tech.
Dessert is the
anyway,
best.
We'll find. Yeah, okay. Well, cheese boards are the thing to go for. We'll speak to you next week if Cherie's still talking to me. I'm not sure if she will. She's giving me dark looks right now.
Love you. Stop it.
Ah, thank God. Right, well, thank you very much for listening. And please obviously find us on Apple Podcasts if that's where you go and give us 5 stars. Subscribe on Spotify if you would love to do that. Or there's many other podcast apps to do the same thing. So please subscribe and listen to us every week. We want to have your ears near our mouths digitally. That would be great. We are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Please check out many other fine podcasts there. I always keep pushing the Live Science, Life of Mysteries because it is excellent, so please listen to that. And all remains me to say is thank you very much, guests and Cherie, for being here.
Bye.
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 Bye.